You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
Time is now.
Time is now. Let's get to it.
Talk about time is now. This is Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo, and it's going to be an interesting conversation today with our guest. And I'm going to tie in the time is now when we come back and I do the monologue. In the meantime, let me tell you, with over a dozen commercial and TV appearances and more than 500 live performances worldwide, and his work with Rihanna, Dancing with the Stars, Red Bull, and so much more, chances are you've seen our guest and will recognize his face or his body and or his body and or his moves. Our guest tonight is Alfred Kendrick. He is founder and creator of Fit Arts, but he is so much more. He's a Hollywood-based personal trainer who, along with his personal star status, performances, and appearances, he attracts a variety of personal clients that include celebrities, supermodels, performers, and athletes. Alfred's success, and for that matter, his body and abilities, did not come overnight. Alfred has worked over 14 years in the personal training field and for over 18 years in martial arts training, including taekwondo, kickboxing, and capoeira, and has a BS in exercise science from Florida State University. Smart guy as well. Alfred's mission is to revolutionize how we get fit by tailoring programs to individual body types through a variety of art forms to keep you motivated and continuously challenged in a fun way. Well, there's so much we can talk about with our guest. He has had a journey of his own. He helps other people have journeys to a positive result. Looking forward to our conversation today on Life Changes with Filippo, with our guest, Alfred Kendrick, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and earlier I said the time is now, or what were the exact words that I used? It's interesting how one of the things that I like to talk about with my life coaching clients is recognizing where we are in the moment when we are in that moment. Because sometimes in the moment, there is so much more going on than what we think. So how does this relate to today? Well, I'll tell you. We're in this beautiful studio downtown Los Angeles, and I don't know too much about what all goes on in this studio. And I've only recently met the proprietor of this studio, who is Michael Wisnu. As a matter of fact, the studio is Wisnu, W-I-Z-N-U. You can go to wisnu.com, and you can see pictures of the studio and know exactly where we are. Well, talk about knowing exactly where we are in the moment when we are there. Our guest has interesting and humble beginnings, and he has goals and has for himself and for others. However, knowing where we are in this moment, and both of us are here in this studio, what does that mean? So from this place of knowing where we are, what is in this moment? So the other day while we were getting ready to do interview a guest, I started singing a song. And while I was singing that song, Michael walked by me and said, "Hey, if you want to interview the guys that sang that song and wrote it, I'd be happy to introduce you to them." I was like, "Whoa, that's pretty cool." And then we got busy, and then we got on with, and then that kind of moment just kind of passed. Well, then here I am, and I'm looking at a picture of Janet Jackson in Rhythm Nation, and it's taken really up close from this stage. And I thought, wow, that's a really cool picture. Whoever took that picture really knew what they were doing, yada, yada. Well, it was Michael from the studio who took that picture of Janet Jackson because he was the photographer on the tour. Well, and then I'm sitting here talking to the guest, and we were talking about Rihanna. Well, obviously, as you know from the introduction, what did he do with Rihanna? Well, he choreographed, he taught her moves, he worked with her dances. So things that are happening out in the world in so many ways are happening right at this moment. Like, we have an effect on them, they have an effect on us, and this moment, it expands and contracts from this moment, away from this moment, back to this moment. And unless those moments are recognized and those experiences are recognized, we don't really have a full picture of all that's going on. I wonder if that really makes sense. And I'm going to turn to our guest, who is a Hollywood-based personal trainer. But more than that, besides being a trainer to the stars and models and performers and athletes, he is an actor and a star in his own right from Dancing with the Stars and many commercials with Red Bull and all kinds of things. So first of all, before we get into what I was talking about, I'd like to welcome Alfred Kendrick to the show.
Hey, Filippo. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you here. So I was talking about this moment thing, like you know, we all come from someplace and we're all going someplace else, but in this moment, there's a lot happening right here.
Right, for sure. And I definitely been feeling that the last few months a lot because, you know, as you're working, you're always looking ahead.
Right.
Or you're dwelling on the past, but sometimes it's hard to stop and think, like, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look what I have right now, and value that and enjoy that, and then look towards the future.
Right, and respect the people that are around you because, right. You know, like if I didn't know you from Adam, I'd just say, you know, hey, you know, good looking guy, whatever he does, what I don't know what you do, whatever, but you got this ton of talent,
right,
and that you use. And then Michael in the studio, he's been amazing and he captures amazing photography, whatever. I didn't know, I don't know a tenth of who he was before this moment.
Right.
And so capturing all of that and knowing that there's so much more going on here than just this.
Right, exactly.
Right? So let's talk about that. In order for you to get to this moment, you didn't always look like this.
Or, right.
Right? I mean, talk
definitely
to me about
not
that.
Getting to this moment. Well, and I would say in high school, I graduated about 155 pounds, and I was 6'3". So, you know, that's a good 45 pounds less than I am
that's
now.
That's skinny.
Right, so I was really skinny.
Wow. So, okay. But with abs?
But tiny abs, but not much. It was more like little ablets.
Ablets.
Ablets, yeah, okay. Tiny abs.
All right. So in other words, you didn't, this wasn't you then.
Right, it wasn't me then. I was skinny. I wasn't too strong. I was fast. I was, you know, county champion running track and field 800 meters, but I was definitely a skinny, looked like a little long distance runner kid. So, and I do remember once I moved away to college and started doing capoeira, my teacher, his name is Professor Aranha, my teacher would always make jokes. He would say, "Hey, you kind of look like one of those kids from those Feed the Children ads when I first met you. But he's like, you know, you're doing better now. So I was like, okay, great. But yeah.
So you have so many different martial arts, no pun intended, under your belt.
Right.
Talk to me about that experience.
Okay. So basically what happened with the martial arts training is I always loved martial arts. Me and my brothers, we watched it on TV. We were really excited about it. And my mom knew I was very interested in the martial arts, but we couldn't really afford the programs. They were very expensive, and they had these big down payments and all this sort of thing in our city, Lakeland, Florida, where I'm from. So what she would do is she would try her best to sign me up. So she would pretty much take me to their trial program or their discount training program or whatever deal they had. And I would train for like the 2 weeks or the month or whatever, and like Shotokan karate for a month. And then that deal would expire, and my mom would be like, okay, money ran out, you know? And then a year go by, and she'll be, and I'll be like, mom, please, 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 I want to do it. She'll be like, I can't afford it, but you know, I saw this sign, let's take you up there. And I was like, cool. So even though I knew it was only for a week or only for 2 weeks or whatever, I would still train that 2 weeks like I was a ninja. You know what I mean?
And try and get as much out of it.
And try to get as much out of it as I can. So we really did that, I probably would say 8 to 10 times in my childhood.
Wow.
Going to different martial arts schools and just kind of doing the intro programs and stuff like that. And it was just my mom trying her best to just satisfy me. Wow. With the little budget we had. But eventually I did find a community center and a really good martial art instructor who did take the time to teach me for a lot cheaper rate. So I was able to really start to advance my skills there.
He saw the promise in you.
Yeah, yeah.
And your ninja commitment.
And my ninja skills.
Looking back now, Sherry, I knew this story and I was hoping you would share it, and I'm glad you did.
Right.
Looking back, how do you feel about that experience?
No, I mean, I think it's amazing.
Because it wasn't easy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because it's like, ah.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was like, it didn't bother me because I was so excited and I wanted to do it. And wow. I was so happy that my mom, you know, knowing that it wasn't necessarily in the budget, still took the effort to kind of wow. give me that little goal or little dream, you know, to like fulfill that little gift for me. So, you know, I'm excited and I'm happy about it when I look back. And it made me a very versatile, you know, martial artist.
Yeah, it exposed you to all these different martial arts and
right.
different techniques and all of that. So we'll talk about this later, but you're not just a one trick kind of guy.
Right.
So uh-huh. so maybe that's where it comes from, or maybe that was part of your nature anyway, so it worked hand in hand.
Right, right, exactly.
This is brilliant. Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. Thank you for sharing the story. And actually, you're doing really well now. And I know that you have intention of doing even more amazing with books and more movies and all that stuff. You look back on humble beginnings.
Right.
And so what do you say about that, about getting you here?
Getting me here? I mean, like, it's... My story, I guess, or how I came to L.A. is kind of crazy. And basically what happened was even like from leaving high school to college, it was summertime. It was like after graduation, I went and hung out with one of my friends at his work. And I was like, what are you doing now that we're graduated? He was like, I'm going to community college. And I was like, how does that work? And he's like, well, we're actually leaving tomorrow to scout the school. And he was like, you want to come? And I was like, that sounds like a good idea. College, let me go check with my mom. And I was like, mom, my friends want me to borrow the car to drive up to Tallahassee, which is like 5 hours away, and go to college. And I'm like, she's not going to let me take the car. She's like, college? Yes, go.
Wow.
Gives me the keys. I, you know, within 2 weeks of not even considering college or thinking about it, I was like, oh, I'll do tech school or something. I mean, like, the things that were happening in the neighborhood and the community at the time wasn't very compelling. And you know, and it wasn't really pushing us to go to college, you know. So so as a youth, you know, once I graduated and my friends were talking about it, I just ended up within 2 weeks going to college. And it was crazy. So then I went to community college, Tallahassee Community College. I worked really hard, transferred to Florida State University, got my degree there. And as I was finishing my degree, I also did additional training in massage therapy school at a different school, which was really great. And then I started thinking about LA. I had some friends in LA, and I was like, how am I going to move to LA? I need to save X amount of dollars. I talked to my friends. They was like, well, if you want to come to LA, you got to save like $5,000 or $10,000, get an apartment, do this, do that. And I was like, if I could save $10,000, why would I even move to LA? You know what I mean? Because at the time I had no money. So I was like, I can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Right. And so just fresh out of finishing two schools, I just had a hilarious conversation with a friend on the phone. He was like, hey, well, if you ever do come to LA, I have kind of a big closet. And then, like, I was like, yeah, dude, whatever, you know. So then I talked to him like a week later, and I was like, hey, what about that closet? He was like, dude, it's not really a closet. It's like a little tiny space. It's not a closet. It's not livable. And I was like, I'm coming to LA.
It's not even big enough to be called a closet.
Exactly.
But you're coming to LA anyway. You know what? That's passion. There's a lot in what you just said, and I'd like to talk about where that might have come from,
right,
when we get back, because okay, there's something here. Well, there's a lot here,
right,
as we know. There's a lot happening in this moment, and right, I'm glad you're part of it. So we'll be right back with our guest Alfred Kendrick on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
This is Life Changes with Filippo, and our guest is Alfred Kendrick. If you want to learn more about him, you can go to fitartsnation.com. That's fit, F-I-T, arts, A-R-T-S, nation.com. We are having an interesting conversation, and there's a passion here that I want to explore before we get into other things. You know, growing up, we didn't have a lot ourselves, but we grew up in a very affluent neighborhood. It just so happened to be because my father worked in a particular field where we had to live in that area, that we were probably the poorest of the people that lived there. And I said to my father, I wanted to learn how to play the piano. And so I said to him, I had to have a grand piano in order to learn. Uh-huh. And my father said, what is it going to happen? And he said, if you really wanted to learn, you could learn on a piece of wood.
Right.
And I said, that's crazy. And I wouldn't learn until I got myself a small piano. But that was me. You would have learned on that piece of wood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, man. As a kid, I was in the backyard. I built boxing bags. I would take blankets and wrap it up in duct tape and start punching it. I would like create nunchucks out of broomsticks. I'm pretty sure I harpooned my brother a couple times with maybe a back end of a rake or something as a spear, javelin. Who knows what I was doing at the time. But yeah, I was creative and driven to do what it took.
This was inside of you.
Yeah, this was in me.
And where do you think some of that came from?
You know, like for a while, I didn't really know where it came from, where that drive came from, where that, like, I just knew what I wanted to do when I wanted to do, or what my responsibilities were. I always knew what my responsibilities were. And for a while, I just couldn't understand why I always knew. And it wasn't until a few years ago, and I realized, I was like, it was my mother. Like, my mother taught me that, like, at such a young age. And I remember just even as kids, like, by the time I was in second grade, you know, I could hem my own pants, you know, needle and thread. And I could hem my pants and, you know, show them to my mom, and she would look to see if the line is straight. And she'd be like, oh, it's not straight enough. Go fix it. You know, and if it was straight enough, she could be like, okay, you can wear those hand-me-downs now from your brother that you think are so cool. Wow. You know, and so, you know, she raised us and she took care of us and she made us very, very responsible. And to this day, you know, I can cook, clean, write, you know, do my own laundry, whatever, you know, without having any problems. Where a lot of times I know it's people who have a hard time doing, you know, little bits and pieces. But yeah, she raised us to be men and women. So it was amazing. No,
so, that is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it would be great to, and we will talk about some of the work you've done on television and of course, with, you know, and what you do with your clients. However, people expect to hear something different on Life Changes about people and their personal stories.
Right.
And so, and it's interesting, you're rolling right with it and you're right here present. And I'm noticing that you expect a lot from yourself, mm-hmm. that you're very present, and that tells me why you're able to do some of the things you can do and why you expect what you expect from your clients.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do they respond to that?
I think they come. It comes as a shock to them, because like failure is something that I think a lot of people fear. At least the people that I come across in, and the art form that I teach, capoeira, is very complicated. There's like acrobatics, flexibility, dance-like movements. You're doing like kicks and flips and there's just so many different components.
You're flying.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You're flying. It's like chess but with your body. Yeah. You know, and so it can be very difficult, and a lot of times people want that immediate gratification, and they literally look at someone and they go, "Oh, I can't do that. You can do that because you're a genetic 6'3" black guy, you know, and you guys come with springs in your legs, you know. That's okay. NBA, NFL, you know, but like me, I can't. You know, that's how people kind of project it. But when everyone who comes into my studio, I expect it. You know, I know they can do it. I understand they can do it because I've seen so many people learn. And it's just through like steps and training and that's the way they get there. And so I expect it of them, and they start to expect it of themselves. And I always tell them, I'm like, look, I wouldn't teach you anything I didn't think you were capable of learning, because I'm not here to show off. I'm here to teach. So I teach you because I know you're capable of learning. And I have a studio for teaching people because I know people are capable of learning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so when I put it to them like that, then they start to understand. And then they start to really believe in themselves. And once they get a few small markers or a little bit of taste of what they can do, from there, it just keeps going. And they completely forget about their own reservations. And they just, you know, go through the roof with their training.
Now, since you're talking about capoeira, I think having learned about it, actually because of you, trying to, you know, get to know you better and all that stuff, and watching you do this art form, which I wasn't too familiar with, but is really taken on by storm, and partly because of you, and you doing what you did on Dancing with the Stars and what you taught Rihanna, for that matter, right?
Right.
So because of you, in great part, there, when like two men are battling it out, it's a battle of art,
right?
It's like who can out art the other one, as opposed to who can out hurt the other one,
right?
It was fascinating to me to get that,
right? Yeah, the capoeira, it is. It's kind of amazing in that it's like it's an expression, but you can fight it, you can dance it, you can play it, and so it's like a game, you know. It's like a dance battle, but then it's also a martial arts competition. So, like, I can literally kick you in the stomach. I can pick you up and throw you on the ground.
Well, let's not talk about kicking me or throwing me.
But then I can do...
I'm hurt already.
But then I can do a backflip. and go, hey, look what I can do. Okay. And so it's kind of amazing to have both those sides, you know, that fun, that playfulness. You're twirling around doing kicks and flips, and then you pick someone up, push them on the ground, then you shake their hand, you pick them up, and you go at it again. Wow. You know what I mean? And so I think it's really awesome to have all those elements.
I think it's an evolved art form,
right?
An evolved physical form, or an evolved way of fighting, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's using all the senses, and it's using the body to its maximum capacity for sure. Like certain arts are very rigid, or certain arts are very limited. They only focus on a few techniques, and each art form definitely has its strengths and weaknesses. But for capoeira, you know, at least for me, is I just feel like it really physically pushes the body, you know, beyond. And that's what martial art does anyway. All martial arts do that. But definitely you can see capoeira in its strength and its flexibility and its coordination and its agility, you know, and the endurance of the people who do capoeira. You're just like, wow, like these guys are skilled in tons of different categories. And you know, that's something we hold pride in.
Brazilian, right? That's right. African-Brazilian heritage, right. The sport that, is it, you call it a sport?
Yeah.
Sport.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely sport, martial art.
Martial art, okay. What is the end game? Like you said, there are competitions, so this part I don't know. At the end of that, is it the guy who's down on the ground, or the guy that did the most, you know?
See, and that's the very difficult thing of capoeira, because the way it came about, and for those who don't know, capoeira was an Afro-Brazilian martial art from slaves in Brazil who, you know, most common belief is they wanted to train fighting and self-defense, but they weren't allowed to. So they disguised their fighting style as a dance to sort of get it past their slave masters.
Wow.
And then over the years, it was shaped and evolved into more of a sport, a pastime. And so the difference between capoeira and like taekwondo or like MMA fighting or whatever the case may be is that when we do our exhibition, there's not necessarily a huge winner or loser. It's just the fun of that exhibition.
Even better yet.
Right. Wow. So it's one of the few arts that you're going to see where people will do an exhibition against one another for maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes sometimes. And no, there's no victor. No one raises their hand and goes, I won this, or here's the winner or the champion. It's not really like that. You just exhibit your form and your technique, your expression, your speed, your agility, your craftiness to take them down or to outmaneuver them, or to however you decide to go about that game. And for you, take it for that experience that you have at the moment. And everyone watching takes it for that experience. And there's not a huge emphasis on being winner, loser, victor, you know, the lesser.
You know what this sounds like? This is crazy, but this sounds like sportsmanship.
Right.
Call me crazy.
Exactly. So.
Wow.
It's very different. And it's an art form where you can actually see an exhibition between an 8-year-old girl and a 25-year-old guy. And they can literally have this conversation through these movements and techniques where you see this little girl and this older guy doing martial art techniques and kind of dancing and also doing flips back to back against one another. And they completely understand what's happening. And it's really cool. And there's very few martial arts where you would see that. Like you do it in capoeira.
And they appreciate each other's way of expressing.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, this is interesting. I'd like your take on this when we come back, because I didn't grow up in sports. And so I don't know too much about it, and I don't watch it very often. But every once in a while, I'll tune into a big game of sorts. And I won't say who they were, because it's not their fault. It's just the way we've been doing things. But you reminded me of this. And when we come back, I'd like your take on it. But it was a big match between two female tennis players, and it was one of the largest matches in the world.
Right.
And one of them... I mean, they both played for, I mean, it just went on seemingly hours.
Right.
And they, neither one of them was making a mistake. I mean, there's just, it's just, you know, so, and then at the end, one of them barely makes a mistake, and that's just how the other one wins.
Right.
So the one that kind of made a mistake was, you know, taking off her shoes and putting on another pair of shoes, while the one who quote unquote won goes around the whole
tennis court carrying this big gold thing,
right,
like she did some big whoop. Well, right, she did, but so did the other girl, right, you know, or woman. So I had a real hard time with that. And people are like, you don't get it. It's a game. And I'm like, yeah, but so I want your take on it when we come back. We are talking to Alfred Kendrick. And if you want to learn more about him, go to FitArts, FitArtsNation.com. We'll be right back after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and we're in the moment here in the studio at WISNU in downtown Los Angeles, having a great conversation with Alfred Kendrick. And I posed a real hard one to you at, just before the break there. So you have these two great athletes, and they're playing tennis, and one wins, quote unquote, and she does, legitimately. The other one just sits there while the one that won gets to walk around with this big gold thing.
Right.
Let's not talk about who they were, because we know, but you know, from the standpoint of capoeira and from what I'm feeling from you, what do you have to say to that?
I think it's really hard because they're both playing that game to win, and so in that way, it's already set up to be a winner and a loser. And the sports, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter the sportsmanship, because it does matter. Like, but it's just a very complicated situation because it's already set up and designed to have a clear winner and a clear loser. That winner is going to take a certain road and that loser is going to take a certain road. And, you know, you just want the winner to take the highest, most, you know, humble road possible, and for the loser to kind of do the same.
Great answer, by the way. And And talking about humble, you know, Mark first introduced me to you and said all these great things about you. And I remember when we first connected and I shared, you know, Mark, our producer, said this and this and this about you. And you in a sense were, you know, you kind of blushed in a sense saying, wow, you know, that's who I strive to be, but it's never really reflected. Because people look at you, look at what you do, and they think, oh, that guy doesn't need my compliment. He's probably an egomaniac anyway, right?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, definitely people say that sometimes. And sometimes when people would call me, they say, oh, I thought you had an ego, I thought you had this. And I would go, is it because of Facebook? And they would say, oh, yeah, I saw those pictures. Like, okay, that's cool. If you think I'm arrogant because of Facebook, that's understandable because everyone posts on Facebook. Look at me. I'm so cool. I'm doing something amazing. Now I'm going somewhere amazing. No one really wants to see or hear the sad story. So, you know, sometimes I do get that. But occasionally, you know, there's people who say, oh, I thought you were arrogant or egotistical. And I'll go, why? That's like, oh, because you're fit and you're this and that. And I was like, see, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, once people meet me, they get to see that I'm just a normal guy, just like anyone else in personality. It's no big deal. And my fitness and my looks and, you know, everything I've done has always, you know, came faster than I was able to accept or mature. So I've never really been at that level where I feel like I'm too great or too amazing.
Well, may you never get at that level. And at the same time, I will say this, I get to meet a lot of people, happily so, and you're not a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really sets you apart is the way you think. And let me give you a quick example. You might not know you even said this, but I know a lot of personal trainers.
Right.
And I know a lot of how much they make and, you know, what kind of business they do. And there's some ones that are out there doing really great business.
Right.
There's some that are really hurting. And so you said to me, you know, if I had stayed in Florida, I only would have been making like at the most in that area. And you mentioned a dollar figure.
Right.
That dollar figure is 2 times, 3 times, even 4 times what some people that do what you do are
right.
Not at your level, but in this town.
Right.
So you already have a mindset that is above and beyond what a lot of people have.
Right.
So you're pushing yourself. So
right.
That's not normal.
Right.
We'd like to think it is. How do we get there?
Again, I guess I have to thank Mom. She always wanted us to do more. And because she had to work really hard, she wanted us to do more. And that's what I want for myself and for a lot of other people. And as I was mentioning to you about my story, I knew there was going to be more. And then Florida has a lot of setbacks as far as like there's some racism and there's some different things that I didn't want to deal with and my mom didn't want me to deal with. And so I was like, okay, I'm leaving. And I just packed up, filled my car up, and my car was broken. It had no front bumper or rear bumper. And the fuel pump was broken. It had to be filled up every half tank.
You didn't drive to LA in that.
I drove to LA in that. And I'd stop every half a tank to refill my car just so it wouldn't shut off on the interstate.
Wow.
Came down the 10 and I landed here with $22 to my name, like no bank account, nothing.
We're not talking about 1940s here.
Right, right. So
this is now.
A few years back.
Yeah.
And I landed here with $22. I went and bought beans and rice. That left me down to about like 15 or so dollars. And then I took a job at, you know, the first few places I could find, and I start working from there. And I stayed motivated. I stayed driven, and I just, you know, started doing massage and training and performing, and everything was because I was just being humbled and, you know, having integrity and helping and working with people, joining up with other people. And I just started pushing the career from there. And then my mom got sick and she passed away.
Oh.
And that really shut me down. Like, is because, you know, everything I would do, I'm like, Mom, I'm on Dancing with the Stars, and Mom, I'm in Hong Kong, and can you believe that actually Chinese people want to watch me do flips? I've been watching them flip the whole time, and now they want to watch me.
Wow.
You know, and after she passed away, which was like a year and a half ago or so, I wasn't able to get accomplishments anymore and be proud of them or happy. I was in this really hard place. And every time I would get somewhere or do a show or like in another country, I'd be really sad. I was like, man, this is sad. My mom's not here. I can't call her and talk about it. I don't really want to accomplish anything without her. And so it took me a while to kind of get out of that. And just 3 or 4 months ago, I went and did this independent film in India. And so in India, I saw all these people who were like literally at the bottom. I mean, some rough places, like you think of like Mumbai and like, you know, and some of the other places, you know, we were down in Goa for much of it. But you see these poor people who were still able to smile and persevere and work hard. And here I am, you know, obviously problems in life or whatever stress it is all relative to that particular person. But to see that those people were struggling and they were still able to, you know, smile and get on with their life. When I came back to LA, I was like, you know what? I need to step it up. I need to stop pouting. And yeah, my stresses are relative to me, so they do make me sad. But there's a lot more people out there who don't have nearly as much as I do. And I just hit it hard and I set some goals and I, you know, got myself back out there and started working hard again. And so it's been a good humbling experience, but you know, I haven't done it alone. Something that we mentioned before earlier, you know, and I haven't done it alone. I don't think many people become successful alone. It's almost impossible. And so there's tons and tons of people and friends and family and students and clients and all these people who've helped me along the way. And I appreciate all of them and I never forget them. And I continue to have a relationship with as many people as possible.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm not the Long Island medium, but if I had to take a wild guess, your mom's here right now, and she would be saying something like, "You could tell me I'm still listening. I'm still there. Right. I want you to tell me."
Right.
This is good for you.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I didn't know this. Thank you for sharing. I think this is going to help a lot of people. You know, we work with people, we see people do things, and you know, people, we love to be impressed by people, and then we love to hate.
Right.
And there can be no hate here.
Right.
There's no room for it. So, you know, love to you, and you know, to people that work with you. If they know this, it just gives a breath to right. what you're getting them to do.
Right.
Right? Because they've got to be feeling this somehow.
Right. I think they do. I think I get a lot of feedback from the clients just recently. And there's when I teach and when I train people, there's something that they feel that they keep coming back in. And I'm now teaching fitness and doing seminars to help other people become personal trainers and things like that. And a lot of what I teach and talk about is like client retention. I'm not talking about necessarily getting tons and tons of new clients, but talking about dealing with those relationships of the clients that you have. So you retain those customers. So you're continuously having those relationships. And that's what's made me wealthy and successful, because the clients from 7 years ago, I still have some of those clients now. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so it's been great to retain those clients and those friendships. And that's what's made me wealthy. It's like those people in my life, you know, and I definitely have to appreciate that.
Well, we have a couple minutes left and there are so many important things we could talk about, but I kind of promised some people that I would ask you, what was it like working with Rihanna?
Oh, man.
And being on Dancing with the Stars. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but okay. I just...
Okay, real quick. Rihanna was super nice. She seemed to be cool with, like, everyone. She talked to the staff all the way to the janitorial staff. Like,
wow.
Everyone. She was like, hey, what's up? She knew them by name. She was cool. She was a lot more beautiful in person than, you know, I've seen on TV, you know. And you see people on TV and you're like, yeah, she's beautiful. She's amazing. But seeing her in person, it was like a flying Pegasus. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? And so, but she was really nice, cool. She learned some techniques and different things, and you know, it was great. It was fun.
Dancing with the Stars?
Dancing with the Stars was really cool because as a kid, I always wanted to perform. Mm-hmm. And there was something I forgot about growing up. Once I went to college, I didn't think there was an opportunity for me to perform anymore. But
You've done over like 500?
I know, but like I didn't think it was going to happen. Oh, okay. And it just actually happened. And so being on this Dancing with the Stars, there's like this huge like stadium type setup and there's all these people around. Yeah. So for me and my friends that were on the show, it was like in the Coliseum. You know, we were gladiators for that moment, you know. So it was fun,
doing gladiator moves.
Yeah, it was really cool. I can't complain about that. And that was definitely, you know, with the film I just did and working with Rihanna and doing, you know, like Dancing with the Stars or whatever. It's just all validates coming to LA, and those are small accomplishments for what I actually want to do, you know, work and business and thing. And I'm trying to produce a lot of projects and things with fitness. And that's just like motivation for me to keep going.
I wanted to mention something to you in case you didn't know. I kind of see a thread of the same kind of look going. You always seem to have your shirt off.
Right.
Do you happen to notice?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let me tell you guys how the shirt came off. How the shirt came off. I am the way I came out of the closet, which, by the way, is just an expression for me.
The broom closet that you were living in?
My friend's closet that I actually lived in, who had a living room at the time. And I was like, can I live in your living room? And he was like, no, because then you'll get comfortable and you won't work hard to move out. Oh, and wow. So I took that to heart, worked really hard. I came out of the closet that way. But in regards to my shirt, I had this other friend who would always say to me, Alfred, you're wearing baggy clothing, you're wearing this, you're wearing that. How would anyone ever work out with you if they can't see your muscles? Mm-hmm. And eventually it sank in. I was like, you're right. And so then I started wearing more tighter fitting clothing and taking my shirt off a little bit. And I started to get a lot of positive response. Mm-hmm. And the first audition I ever booked, I took my shirt off, put on cocoa butter and did push-ups in the lobby. And then after I booked that, I was like, shirt's coming off every time.
Cocoa butter's
going
on. So
if you pull out a camera, I would take off my shirt. So I'm in fitness. That's what I do. So.
Well, I posted that this was a closed set today, and ladies, he's got his shirt on and a jacket. You look very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
Although, were we to be on camera, I know that you would have done some moves for us.
Right.
And I kind of feel off the hook because knowing you, I kind of get the feeling like you would say, okay, Filippo, let me show you how to do this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You got to do a couple moves.
Right? And I wouldn't have taken the jacket off, much less the shirt. So no cocoa butter is touching this body. But maybe by the next time you're on the show.
Next time you come, I'll teach you, you know, the whole technique to, you know, making the muscles sparkle.
Okay.
Cocoa butter.
All right. Well, actually, we got to get the muscles first.
Okay, but, cool.
On our way there, this has been a great moment.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. To you guys.
It's been very special. Did we cover everything?
Oh, man, there's so much.
You have so much you inspire people with. I just want to make sure that we...
Right. I just my email is alfredfitarts. At Gmail, so people can message me. They can find me on Facebook as Alfred Kendrick. So,
cool.
Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah, and fitartsnation.com. FITARTSNATION.com. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you so much, Filippo.
Looking
I really appreciate
to a lot of
having
great
me.
Things from you more.
All right.
We'll be right back with our producer's wrap, with our producer who introduced us to Alfred Kendrick. Right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We are back, and this is our producer's wrap here at Life Changes with Filippo and the producer, Mark Legere, who introduced us to Alfred Kendrick. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, Alfred is one of those guys that really deserves to be known about.
Yeah.
You know, on so many levels.
Not just known, but known about, because he's known. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, that's why I chose those words specifically, because he's as genuine as they come.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of people out there that are talented, that have fitness ability, that have created good systems and created some good success. But they oftentimes can be different behind the scenes than they are in their projected self and the package that they put together and the story that they tell. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of watching Alfred develop as a human, as a friend, as a professional over the years. And he deserves everything that's coming to him because of what he gives back and both with the people he teaches and the friends he keeps and the way he lives his life.
Yeah, you know, that's, as I started, I remember growing up, my father used to tell me, oh, if I could talk to those people in Washington, or if I could this, and if I could talk to the people at the head of that organization, or, and then as I started singing, and then I found myself in Washington, D.C., and the President of the United States was there, and I'm calling my dad like, Dad, I'm talking to the guys that you said, if I could talk to them, I'm talking to them, and I'm kind of telling them a little bit about what you said. And, you know, and then I'd be at the head of that organization. I go, Dad, guess who I'm performing for today? And then when my dad left, there was that gap. There was that, well, you know, what am I doing this for? Or who gets it, like what this means to me? So that story of Alfred's mother and only a year and a half ago, I mean, that really, that knocked the wind out of me. I mean, I want her to be there for his successes, because there are going to be a lot more.
Yeah. And of course she is there, but I know what you mean, and I know that's so important to him. I think, you know, what really resonates about Alfred is that he's so accessible on so many levels. He's so relatable to so many people's journeys. And you know, despite his perseverance and the success that he's created, you know, he's very real and very human. And it was interesting. It brought back some memories for me when he was talking about his, you know, people not perceiving him correctly at times, and the arrogance and this and that. And I went through I went through a transition in high school specifically, because we had moved from, you know, just south of Cleveland, very middle class, blue collar upbringing, to St. Petersburg, Florida. And during that transition, I had started out where I was in the band, and went from a big band, big northern school, to a very small private school with a very few band members, and they were, you know, the band geeks. And suddenly what was cool, and the football players loved the jazz band and this and that, became, you know, not so cool in the students' eyes. And so I came in under that banner as one of the band geeks, and then decided in my junior year to go out for football. And by senior year, I had ended up team captain. And what was interesting is then I was perceived, and because I was quiet, because I was still, in my mind, a band geek playing football, I was then getting reflected back, as Alfred put it, that I was the arrogant team captain, you know, because of my quiet confidence. So, you know,
out of the frying pan into the fire.
And you know, crazy. Everybody has their story, and you know, so many people are judging from their own perspective, and their own insecurities and their own wants. So you know, it's interesting to see someone like Alfred's you know, step up in the way he has, and really kind of reflect that positivity back to others.
Absolutely. You know, I was joking earlier. You still get it, and the people still think sometimes that you're arrogant and all that, and then they meet you and they're like, wow, he's really a nice guy. Or I just got an email from somebody, a producer actually, when they were talking about how getting you on her show, and I said, oh, I'd asked him, and he said he'd be happy to do it. Oh my God, he's so nice. Oh, I didn't think he'd say yes. And I'm like, yeah, he'd love to do it. You know, and it was. On the one hand, it's like, how do they see you? You know, how do they see anybody?
Yeah.
And so here, Alfred, when I was asking him about how people see him, and he says, you know, I never had the opportunity to see myself that way, because I was always the skinny guy, you know? So all of a sudden, my body's like all of this, and people are seeing all of this, and I'm still seeing the skinny guy.
you know, this is so important. We talk about this. Life changes so much because there's that moment in everybody's lives where they become a little bit different than the essence that they are. And it usually has to do with something that somebody said, a situation where they were embarrassed or they were told they weren't pretty enough or not tall enough or maybe too skinny or too heavy or whatever the case may be. And they start going down a different path than what their dreams or their true self kind of was empowering. And you know, at the end of the day, we're still all those kids that were in the sandbox. You know, we're all those kids that were on the playground and or beforehand when we were fearless and creative and building dreams and pursuing things. And the more that we can enable people, like I think Alfred does and we do, to kind of get back to that essence, that ballerina they forgot they were, that painter that they wanted to be, or whatever it is, to kind of get back to that innocence.
Can't wait to have big live events where Alfred could come and do his thing and tell his story, and everybody from different walks of life and from business or from teachers or what have you, and we, I know, run across so many people, and I think sometimes to some people, where did you get off your path, you know? And the interesting thing is, being a life coach, I try and get people back to those moments,
right?
You know, and that in the beginning of the show, in a sense, that kind of, you know, we're working here and we've got dreams and there's a lot writing and we're working hard here, but for a moment that little kid in me is like, wow, Michael Wisnew took that picture of Janet Jackson, that's pretty cool. He was on stage with Janet Jackson, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And oh, our guest taught Rihanna her moves that we think are really cool on stage, right? And it's like, and here we are in the studio.
Well,
where
so Michael's taking those pictures with them and us on stage.
Right.
And
that'll be great. If we can recognize the greatness here, though, if I can be that kid for that moment. And I couldn't at the beginning. I kind of stoically took it like, oh, great. This is cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And that's what we're about. And that's, you know, that's the exciting part of this. I spent so much time, especially when I was going through a period of time where I was commuting and I was taking the train, and I would sit back and I would look at people. And I've always been, I have a psychology background, and I've always liked to people watch. But I like to look especially at the older generation, and especially in those types of situations, because everybody seems to wear their story outside a bit. And I take a moment and I try to look at that older person or maybe downtrodden person and back the tape up and picture them without the years and without the stress and wonder, you know, what their childhood was like or what their joy is, or, you know, really what their story is. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to tell a lot more of those types of story.
You know, you remind me of something that I haven't thought of in years, and I don't know why this is coming up, but when I started to sing, and as I started to get more popular in the community where I lived, at one point there was this, like, oh, wow, Filippo's moving to Los Angeles, and, you know, we're going to lose him kind of thing. My family and the community kind of, there was one particular show where thousands of people, and it was just, and people wanted my attention. One uncle came up and hugged me and was proud of me and happy for me. The other uncle came up and started crying and said, who do you think you are? And walked away. And it was, I was the same person. And it was whatever my uncle was feeling at that moment, on the one hand, was he's like, he was comfortable with this. The other uncle was feeling whatever he was feeling, but that moment was, I was the same person, and it affected two people in two different ways, and it all had to do with what was going on inside them.
Yeah, which is true. That's a great analogy for what, or a great truth for what is going on with everybody. And,
right.
You know, it just, I recall so many of those moments where you'll walk up to somebody and give them a hug, and it'll be either warmly received or awkward because they don't know what to do with a hug, or they're not, you know, affectionate or intimate, or their mind's somewhere else, as you're saying.
Right.
And it
right.
really is ultimately about what's going on inside each and every one of us at any moment.
And especially in this world that we're living in, between people being celebrities or people being beautiful in the eyes of of what we think beauty is, or what we hold beauty to be, and somebody with a body like Alfred, or being able to move and all that, what we project onto them is about us.
Yeah.
So the people that come up to Alfred and said, you know, oh, I thought you were ego, there's something inside of them. And the other person who can just say, wow, man, good for you. Yeah. You know, wherever you come from, good for you. And I'm saying, and we're saying, and I know we're in unison saying, good for you, man. Good for you. More power to you. And looking forward to hearing a lot more good stuff. So with that, I'm proud of the show. I'm proud of what we're doing. Proud of all of us here. Grateful for all of you to being with us here at Life Changes. Remember, as life changes, I'm Filippo Voltaggio saying, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.